Good morning. Mr. West, could you please state your full name and your ADC number for the record? Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a commutation phase two hearing, and your application and indications are that this is being requested because of imminent danger of death, sir. You're serving a sentence a sentence for murder in first degree, and that was a 25-year-to-life sentence, but you were paroled from that to a consecutive sentence for armed robbery, which is a 21-year sentence. Is that correct as you understand it, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, sir. And it looks like this offense occurred on April 29th, 1986, and this, in very brief, was a stabbing and a shooting of a man and taking of his wallet. Is that, in a very nutshell, correct, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And your application indicates that you're requesting a 21-year reduction in your sentence, and that would indicate that would amount to time served, essentially, and it's due to your health conditions. It looks like you've done some programming in prison, and you have a moderate discipline history in prison, sir, but we probably don't really need to talk about that today. We do have Dr. Robertson on the phone, and I'd like to just, if it's all right with you, Mr. West, ask Dr. Robertson to talk about your medical condition. So, Dr. Robertson?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, could you please just give us your title so I have it correct?
I am a physician on the Health Services Contract Monitoring Board.
Thank you, sir. And what can you tell us about, none of us are medical people here, so something that we could understand that describes Mr. West's condition.
Okay, it'll be real brief in layman's terms. He presented in 2017. He developed a voice hoarseness in 2012, but he consulted with a physician in 2017. And since then, they had to do a tumor debulking. It was laryngeal cancer, squamous cell carcinoma. It's an aggressive type of cancer. And they debulked it in November of 17. And then he went through rounds of chemo and radiation. Later on in 2017, he had chest tightness, shortness of breath, and then they needed to do a tracheostomy for him to breathe. And he's had a terrible issue with his nutrition. In February of 18, he completed, he started treatment with radiation. He completed that in May of 18. But then in July of 18, it showed that the cancer had metastasized to his lungs. And that's a very ominous prognosis. And that happened in July of 18. So since then, he's been having palliation. Nothing curative, but just symptom management. And so they expect him to expire in the near future.
Okay, sir. And would you estimate that would be within 4 months?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Now, it's difficult to do a prognosis.
Sure.
You know, you're playing God, but
right.
It's kind of a balance between an art and science.
Right.
And in my experience, what I've seen is when you have a squamous cell type carcinoma and it's refractory to treatment, you know, it keeps popping up all over the body, there'll be a seminal event where he'll just crash. And with lung mets, it's probably in his brain by now, you know, it's a matter of time.
And part of this is based on not only those, the spread of the cancer, but also you said he's not able to get adequate nutrition?
Right, he's having, they're gonna, if he had a G-tube, I think they're thinking of replacing it, you know, a gastric tube for nutrition. You know, that's a palliation, it's not a cure, it's just, you know, give him some nutrition, some hydration. It doesn't fight the cancer because, you know, it has no therapeutic properties other than to make him comfortable.
Right. And we have a brief written report from you, and it indicates you say he's not able to ambulate at this point?
He's very weak, yes.
Just very weak and has to have help to even to walk?
Yeah. There's no reserves anymore.
Right.
He's out. He's done. Yeah.
Understood. Okay. Are there any questions from fellow board members for Dr. Robertson?
Dr. Robertson, I have several questions. I know that have you had any contact with the church who may be assisting him if he was medically released?
No.
So if he was released, what type of care would he need?
Probably hospice.
Okay.
Definitely hospice, you know. He needs some assistance with daily living because he's so weak now. And, he's definitely around the clock care, but definitely assisted living.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Dr. Ray.
Dr. Robertson, it's hard on these kind of situations when you come in the name of danger of death. None of us can predict what will happen in the future. If you so appropriately stated at the beginning of your statement, but exactly what is his, in layman terms, what is his situation? And I know that just in layman terms, can he walk? I know we can hear how he articulates, we heard his voice.
He ambulates with a walker.
Okay.
But it exhausts him. You know, just a slight exertion is exhausting. He becomes short of breath. The tumor in his lungs will eventually displace his functional tissue, and he won't be able to breathe.
I believe you wanted to tell us, and we had some technical situation running around here with our machines. Now, when was he diagnosed with this situation, sir? How long has this been going on?
He got started in 2017. That's when they first found it.
Okay.
And that's usually that's the time window you're looking at with the squamous cell carcinoma that's refractory to care. He came in late. You know, he didn't present. He had a massive tumor that they had to take out of his throat. And, they cut into his larynx and they had to give him a tracheostomy so he could breathe. They thought they had it somewhat under control. You're always hopeful. But it bounced back. And, just one cell is all you need to spread. So that was in November of 17 is when they did the tumor debulking, and then it showed back up in July of 18, which is usually when you see it happen.
Dr. Robertson, is there a and I think you've answered this already, but sometimes, we just might hear it twice, some of us. Based upon his treatment at this particular time, there is no medical cure, which may not be the correct terminology, nothing medically that would reverse his physical condition at this time, his medical condition at this time. Is that, is it fair to say that, sir?
It's absolutely correct. Nothing will change his course. He's having symptom management only.
And I apologize because he does have family members in the room. If nothing is done and this board made a recommendation to the governor and he accepted this, what would happen? You know, I mean, he's an unfair question, especially with family members being in the room, but what exactly would happen if this were forward, sir?
He's going to, the tumor, the metastasis causes multi-organ failure, and this is what's going to happen to this gentleman. What's important at this stage of life and in the process of dying is that symptoms are managed properly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things you have to do is, in order to allow death with dignity, is allow the patient to be close to a loved one.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess he's, what, about 56 years of age at this time, I believe, if I'm looking at this correct. He's 56 at this time. And, okay. I don't think I ask anything else at this time, Dr. Robinson, but thank you so very much, and you're always so helpful, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any questions, please feel free to call.
Okay, hold on one moment. Some other board members might have some questions.
Any other questions for Dr. Robinson? I think we have a report from you, sir, so I think at this point, I know you have a busy schedule, and if you'd like to remain on the line, that's fine, or we can you can just hang up if you don't want to participate anymore, sir. But thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna get going. I appreciate you hearing me up.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Back to Mr. West, and I know it's difficult for him to speak, and I know his counselor is there. Had Mr. West developed any sort of plan as far as where he would go with the counselor?
Well, this is CO3 O'Leary, Ms. Not at this time. I know he's very close with his pastor and his congregation. We didn't want to jump the gun. I don't believe he has any family up in Phoenix or anywhere to go at this point, but he's going to require specialized medical care, as Dr. Robertson had said, if he's lucky enough to be released.
Well, his several people are here, and I think what we'll do is we'll talk to them about the residents' possibilities in this hearing, and Mr. West will be able to hear what's being discussed, and he can agree or not agree.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Was there anything else that Mr. West wanted to convey that you were aware of?
Will this be my only opportunity to speak?
No, you have another opportunity. You can say as much as you need to say, sir.
Right.
I will. There's nothing I can add to what's been previously discussed. I can wait.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have your supporters and your... the people who are here come up and speak now, and then we'll let you think about what they say, and then you can add your comments at the end. Okay, Mr. West?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a group. Are these the only visitors from Mr. West?
Just we have any. These are all mine.
Those are all some. Okay. Okay, so we have in the room, we have six people from Mr. West. Okay, and I'll just read their names, Mr. West, so you can hear who's here. We have Daniel Lind, Eddie McLaughlin, Mary Lee Breeze. I can't read the next name. I'm sorry.
Perry
I can't.
Mummy.
What is it?
Perry Mummy.
Oh, Perry Mummy, I can read. Okay. Jeff Cheriker, I can read. The other one I can't read.
Truce.
He stepped out.
Okay, well, and what's his name? Braden?
Truced.
Okay, I'm going to write that in here for myself. Okay. Braden Truced. Okay. Now, you're all associated with Mr. West, and I would let you, anybody who wants to speak can certainly come up and speak. We just have to, for purposes of time, you know, not duplicate. So is there someone who's going to be a spokesman? And certainly everyone's welcome, but as long as we keep it kind of brief or concise, I should say. So if you could just start by restating your name, because this is
good morning, Jim McLaughlin.
Thank you.
And I'm a former inmate, and I served time with Mr. West in the south unit of the prison in the early 1990s.
Okay. And then, will you be involved in his care?
I do. I work for a ministry called Discovery Point Ministry. and we would be able to provide transitional housing for him at this time and explore the possibility of hospice care along with, in conjunction with Faith Bible Church.
Okay, so Discovery Point Ministry, and is that, does that provide a residence? Is that like...
It does. They have three homes, and we work with the GC4, with the governor's task force, kind of. The governor of UC put out a mandate to reduce recidivism in the state. So we are working with returning men at this time from the prison system. And I was just recently badged through the Department of Corrections to go back into the prison with Prison Fellowship. And they're launching the Prison Fellowship Academy within the system, so I will be partaking in that as well.
So Mr. West then would be living at one of these three homes?
Yes, he would be allowed to live at one of the homes, yes.
Okay, and they're in Phoenix?
It's in Peoria.
Okay, so we have three homes available. And are there staff who are medically trained or would be able to, I mean, he's going to have some medical issues.
Not at this time. I was in conversation with the church and we were thinking about hospice. If for some reason he isn't ambulatory, able to walk or function, that we've discussed, the church has discussed with me the possibility of possibly hospice situation.
Okay, where hospice comes in.
Right.
So hospice could come in. And what about, would the church be able to provide transportation for him from where, he's in Tucson, I suppose. Yeah, mm-hmm. In Tucson? From Tucson to here?
We'd make sure that happened, yes.
Okay. And whatever medical condition is needed, I mean, I think we have a nurse practitioner on the line. We could ask about, is there a nurse practitioner on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's your name, please?
Bell, B-E-L-L.
Okay. Transportation, would he need some sort of special transport from Tucson to Phoenix?
No, he's not on any oxygen right now.
So he could just, in a regular vehicle, he could just ride in a car, not a problem?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Okay.
Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir.
This is CO3 O'Leary. We could arrange through our Horizon Transitional Planner to have DOC transport up to the location up in Phoenix from Tucson.
Okay. That's good to know as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do that with our SMI patients.
Okay.
And I'm sure we can arrange something here. That should not be an issue.
Okay. All right. So I just want to make sure they can get where they need to be.
Sure.
And then, okay, thank you, Mr. O'Leary. Does any board member have a question for Mr. McLaughlin as far as residence or...
I think you asked the questions about transportation.
Those would be, yeah. Dr. Wright, you have questions?
Are you ministering with... At what point, would your ministry be ready to intervene? I know all of that would have to be worked out with DOC. We don't, the board has nothing to do with that, but at what point, because this is a process that we're going through, as you know, having been in the system and working now in the system, only thing that we could do is make a recommendation to the governor, and then the governor would make a decision whether to permit him to be released. So I'm just trying to figure out in as much as maybe I didn't hear something correct. There's not been any decisions made in terms of actually where he would reside in, which of these three houses he would reside in, where he would get the medical conditions from. Has anything been done in terms of his getting medical treatment or from a financial standpoint, insurance or depending upon the state? So what would happen? I'm just trying to figure out what would happen because of his situation, sir.
Well, typically, the pastor of the church was in communication with Eddie, and the church was very close to him when he was residing in the Yuma facility. But since they moved him down to Tucson, I don't want to speak for them, but they have been in touch with the CO3 in the unit. Walking into this today, I mean, listening to the doctor speak was probably the first clear picture I've gotten into his medical condition. It was the first thing this morning. I do extensively help men transition from prison. I do know that they're available, that access medical care is available immediately to men and women being released out of prison. That's usually the steps that we go through. So we will be willing to work on that. We do have a bed available for them, depending on his medical condition. And then I know that the church also has a number of resources with hospice, that if he definitely needed, we could possibly transition him right to a hospice facility if that were his medical condition, if he weren't ambulatory or able to walk on his own.
But as we stand now, we're just not quite sure what would happen, because you're just not getting involved, and what I'm saying, you, I mean the church is now getting involved. He has no family at all. This is a question.
He has no family. I originally met him in South Unit. He came to a Bible study in the church there. He had no family, no means of support, and he had asked me for a job. And I was working in the prison as an inmate clerk, and I had approached one of the administrators, a very tough administrator by the name of Stuart Miles. And he had a disciplinary history a little bit. And actually, Mr. Miles went out on a limb and got him a job in the ACI program in the metal fab, and he started working there. And that's part of my reason to reach out to him as well. I was able to introduce him to Faith Bible Church. There was another man in the prison, a family, prominent family in the church, and their son came out of prison and he wasn't able to transition and he wound up taking his own life. So this kind of hits home for me. So the reason I'm here today is if I can reach out to my brother Eddie and help him in any way, shape, or form, I'd be more than happy to do that today.
Mr. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir.
This is Theo O'Leary again. I have been in touch with Pastor Lind and some of his congregation about some of this, what we can expect to see, hopefully can expect to see. And typically, I won't actually do any transitional paperwork until I know for sure the inmate has been released. At that point, I will do access information. I'll put access information in the system to get him going before he gets released. I'll work DMV things, social security things if we need to do that. I will work with who I need to work with, the Corizon Transitional Planner, to find him suitable care, even if it's working through his congregation. I can make all those phone calls.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
And I will make sure that's in our release management system so there won't be any stone unturned.
Okay. All right. So any other questions for Mr. McLaughlin? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And would others like to speak? I mean, you're welcome to. We just ask that you don't repeat something's been said. Okay, please state your name.
Sure, I'm Dan Lind.
Okay.
And I'm the senior pastor of Faith Bible Church in Glendale, Arizona. We're a congregation of about 1,000 folks and have been involved in its life actually prior to me becoming the pastor of that church, which was over 21 years ago. And as was mentioned by Eddie McLaughlin, became part of our church, became a member of our church while incarcerated, and continues to receive regular visits from myself and members of the pastoral staff. I have no doubt that our congregation would rally and provide the support that we can to help in this process. Obviously, as already has already been stated, it's a bit difficult to know what that level of support would be, not knowing the timing of Ed's release. I will say that Ed has never once thought his sentence unfair. He has not once said to me that he doesn't belong incarcerated, knowing as he realized the seriousness of his crime. I think he has paid a debt to the people of Arizona, and I would encourage you to consider his current condition as part of a decision that would lead to his release.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions for Pastor Lind?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else, or you just just here for support. Okay, well, thank you all so much for coming. It helps a lot to let us know that there will be a place for him to land. Any other questions from anyone on the board about anything? Okay, Mr. West, we're back to you now, and I don't know if there's anything else you've thought of that you want the board to know or consider, but now is your chance, sir.
I just wanted to say that I realize that I don't deserve any media paper. What I did, but at this point in my life, I would hope that we could perhaps find a path between previous missions. I just want to die in peace, surrounded by people who care for me, as opposed to the alternative, but ultimately that decision lies on you. Every part of your decision. I want to thank everyone involved for the opportunity.
Okay, is that it, Mr. West?
That's about all I can.
Okay, so well, we sure do appreciate that, and I know everyone here appreciates that you're grateful for their support. Okay, thank you, sir. Now, I also want to clarify one thing, and this board will make a recommendation on this to the governor. So it's the governor's decision, not this board, that would ultimately lead to your release. But this board would make a recommendation or not make a recommendation, one or the other. So that's what we're here for today. So at this point, I think we've got information and we can go into discussion, which we do in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, and make a decision on Mr. West. So the board is now in discussion. It's clear that I can tell from Mr. West's attitude that he is not asking for any sort of leniency as far as what he did. He accepts his sentence. He accepts all of that, and I think that's very courageous of him. It's not an attitude that we hear very often, and it's kind of refreshing in this case. I think that he does have the details may not all be worked out, but I think he has a place to land with a group of people that are going to be care for him and make sure he's got the adequate care. We may not have a specific address for him to go to at this point, but I think that there is enough information that he will be taken care of. I, at this point, just based on what I've heard, based on his health condition, I could support recommending commutation to the governor, but I will open discussion. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. I'll keep it short. I agree with you, and I think there's something really, obviously this is a tragic case, but he's very accountable in a way that I find equally refreshing. And I also think it's significant that he was granted a 412B in the past. I think that's a strong indication of character, and I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Anything to add? Okay, then. I'm going to make a motion then, and my motion will be that we pass this application or recommend, I guess it's recommending to the governor, that clemency or that the commutation be granted for Mr. West, and with community supervision to remain intact, so that he's not, it's not the end of his sentence. He would still have a parole officer, but he would have, he would be released from the prison. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
All right, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones, agreed Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal. Okay?
I think that I'm a little on the fence, and one reason is that we have not heard from the victims. I'm just going through the paperwork again. I guess the last time we heard from them, basically what we have here, was January 17, 2012, and through that attorney, they definitely objected to his to his being released. Like they said, we're this law firm, so they represent him, his family rather, and Dr. Thompson's son was murdered by the above referenced inmate in 1986, and that the son was stabbed several times by Mr. West and another party, and basically Mr. and Mrs. Thompson at that time are against any type of parole, and I think that the law is, I always have to take into consideration the family, and I don't, the victims, and I don't believe that anyone from the victims are present, but just on behalf of the victims, I am, I'm almost regretfully disagreeing.
Okay, so you disagree. So, Mr. Chairman, this would still carry because of the...
Yes, ma'am.
The, okay, the majority. Okay, Mr. West, the board has voted to recommend your application for commutation and your commutation to the governor. So what this means is the board will prepare a letter to the governor by Friday or...
Let's say Monday.
By Monday?
Mm-hmm.
So by next Monday, we'll have a letter that we present to the governor with, it kind of assembles all the facts that we've gathered today and some facts from your file. And then it will be up to the governor to make a decision on that. So community supervision will remain intact. So you still have a parole officer. It doesn't give absolute discharge from the system, but it's a, certainly a... it would involve a release from the actual prison. Okay, Mr. West?
I would be willing to accept any conditions. I have no problem with that.
Understood. Okay, so, and there will be going to be some kind of conditions, but you'll be able to review those with your parole officer and sign those, so... Okay.
I would like to just point out is that the governor would not be limited in terms of the time that it would take his office to make that decision, of him to make a decision to release them or not to release them.
Okay, he has no time for
yes,
that.
Yes, because this was not unanimous. This had been unanimous, he would have, but since this is not unanimous, the governor
would
have his own time frame.
Okay. All right, sir. Okay, did you understand that, Mr. Wright? Or Mr. West, I mean, I'm sorry?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, sir. Well, we will proceed and prepare the letter, and wish you, certainly wish you the best, sir. And your hearing is concluded at this point. Thank you, Officer O'Leary. Thank you, Nurse Practitioner Bell. And thanks all the folks that came today. We appreciate it. It's very nice that you support Mr. West.
Thank you all.
The hearing's concluded. Thank you.
And we're going to disconnect.